reading this morning, as has been mentioned already, is Psalm 32, which can be found in the Bibles that some of you may have on page 560. That's Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Thanks be to God for his word.
We're thinking today about Teachable David, and I must confess he's one of my heroes in life, and as a young lad I thought, yeah, he's the kind of guy I want to be like, so no apologies there. But as we're thinking about teaching today, I'd like to ask a simple question. Why do teachers wear sunglasses? Because their pupils are so bright. And what food do most math teachers eat? Well, obviously takeaways. And Why did the math teacher sleep with a ruler under her pillow? Because she wanted to know how long she would sleep. So let's pray. Lord God, please teach us how to learn from you as we study the ways you taught David. Amen. Well, King David lived several thousand years ago in Israel. And today, we're going to find out what lessons God taught him. So what did God promised to do for David? It was just in our reading just now. He promised to do one particular thing for him. Anybody know what that was? Right. Yes? Teach him. That's it. Our theme for today. Plus a bit more. So God said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Counsel meaning teaching, guiding, instructing in general. So how did God teach David? Did he put him in a classroom and make him learn maths and such? Yeah, my favorites. And history and all that stuff. What methods did God use to teach David throughout his adventurous ups and downs in life? Well, David was a shepherd for the early part of his life, and that was a pretty tough call because he was out in the wilderness for days, sometimes weeks on end, with just the sheep for company. He lived in a semi-desert environment, not a green and pleasant land like ours. He often had to lead his sheep a long distances to find water and pasture. This meant traveling days across rocky terrain, sleeping in the open air with just a cloak for warmth on the sometimes bitterly cold nights. Well, David carried something. I'll show you what it was now. Looks like someone's grotesque gallstones, isn't it? He carried a bag of stones like this in a leather bag with him. And why would he carry that kind of stuff around? I mean, there's plenty of rocks in the desert. Who needs to carry more stuff around, you know? Why would he do that? Anybody got any ideas? Yes? For his slingshot, which brings me to my next subject. Well, this is a piece of string, and it's got a loop in one end, which I can put around my finger, and it's also got a bit of leather here, and it's called a sling. So why would David want to be walking around in the desert with a bunch of sheep, with a piece of string and a bit of leather stuck on the end? What's the point of that? Anybody got any ideas? Yeah. Yeah, that's right, you kill animals with it. And you may think this is a pretty inoffensive looking weapon, but bear in mind that David actually threw a stone so hard at a massive giant called Goliath, who was fully armored. He threw this stone so hard that it tells in the Bible the stone actually embedded itself in his skull. He didn't get up too fast after that, I can tell you. So, how does it work? Well, it's a very simple principle. In the time of David, there were whole sections of the armies that just specialized in what we call slingshotters. They were very effective. Well, he could also use that type of slingshot to scare off animals, and particularly at that time, there were mountain lions who wandered around, and they were quite keen to have him for lunch, or one of his sheep. Well, David also carried something else. And you can see that the sheep were pretty massive in those days. They were really right up there, you know. So what would he need this kind of stick for with a kind of hook thing on the end? What's the point of that? Anybody got any ideas there? What was this all for? Yeah, it's a back scratcher. Excellent, yeah. And yeah, I wish I thought of that. Yes? To pull up the sheep when they got down things like holes and crevices in the ground. And when he got a bit too close to one of these enemies, it was a pretty good weapon as well. And he was very, very good at using it because it was a matter of life or death. David carried some of these also with him. I'll show you the next thing. They're sort of brown things and they're a bit squidgy. And know that I haven't been down to the local pathology lab extracting things overnight. So what do you think those things are? Anybody got any ideas? So, dates. Well, they're a very, very good form of portable energy in a desert environment, and I certainly use them when I'm on long walks and so on, because they've got a good balance of carbohydrates, medium and long-range energy release, but they're also very light and you can dry them right out, and that's very important if you've got a long way to walk across a desert environment. So he was a smart guy and he knew lots of different ways to stay alive in a desert and to keep charge of his sheep. He also carried one other thing, which I also carry on long walks, but I've got a modern version of his particular thing, which is this thing. And I usually put that in my rucksack when I'm on a long walk, and there's a pipe that leads from that to my mouth, so I don't have to keep taking it out. It's a bag of water. Well, it's fairly obvious that you even need a bag of water in the desert environment. Otherwise, you just dry out and die. It's quite simple. So when he was a shepherd, David learned how to look after the little lambs and the rest of the sheep, because they were part of his family's fortune. He needed to find food and water, and he'd worked out how to do that as well. He had a pretty sophisticated range of survival skills. How to live in a semi-desert environment, avoiding being bitten by snakes and scorpions, which are pretty prevalent in that area. But David wrote a special psalm, Psalm 23, to celebrate what God had taught him when he was a shepherd. And I wonder if you can remember the way that this psalm opens, this beautiful and famous and very memorable psalm, which I've committed to memory. So I say this to myself if I wake up in the night and can't sleep. How does the psalm open? Psalm 23. Anyone know what the opening words are? Really special, aren't they? Wonderful words. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, this is for you, Hayes, I lack nothing. Okay. Family joke. So, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I lack nothing. And he knew that. He was a walking, living example. He knew exactly what that meant. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, David had a special friend, Jonathan. So what did God teach him through Jonathan? Well, he learned how to trust his friend. And we all need a friend like that. He learned how to share his highest hopes and his deepest fears. He learned how to deal at an early age with deep grief when Jonathan, his friend, was killed in battle. David also was a poet and a musician. He played a kind of stringed instrument, which was a type of harp, which it was smaller than the conventional harp that we have today. And he was also a poet, and he wrote many poems, which we now call usually psalms. Well, I'm going to delve into the deep depths again. What's green and sings? It's Elvis Parsley. Why was the musician arrested? He got into treble. So David learned then how to communicate the many lessons that God had taught him in his poetry, in his psalms, but also in music, like the songs we've been singing today. And David also learned how to say thank you. It comes up again and again and again in the psalms. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's a great lesson for us all. And thanking God, we know from work in neuroscience, when you thank someone, or thank God in this particular case, it releases chemicals in your brains called endorphins, amongst other things, and serotonins. And that actually improves your whole brain function and your health in general. So saying thank you really works. But David was also an outlaw. Okay, a really stunning visual aid now. It cost me endless amounts of money to make this one. So, what's this? It's a tripod on my head. What does it say? Tempering. Well, you know, I'm an international scientist, so I don't come cheap. So, David had a price on his head. No. He was an outlaw, and he had this particular reward that was out for him, and people wanted to get him because they wanted to get him and they wanted to get the cash. But he also led a pretty wild bunch of outlaws, which included murderers and robbers. But he was a natural, charismatic leader of that particular wild bunch. They wanted him to lead them. So David and his gang were being hunted, wanted dead or alive. Sometimes they had to flee into the desert to get away from their enemies. So what would they do in a desert environment? How did David know where to find food and water in the desert? Well, again, he used the survival skills that he'd been taught as a shepherd. But David wasn't super good all the time. Unfortunately, David was also an adulterer and a murderer. This is a black phase in his life. He took another man's wife, and she got pregnant with his child. So he tried to cover it up by ordering his soldiers to make sure the loyal husband was killed on the battlefield by a cruel act of betrayal. It was a vile conspiracy by any standards, where David got his loyal soldiers to do his dirty work for him, betraying one of his most faithful and loyal soldiers. But the story moves on. God sent his prophet Nathan to tell David a story. And the story, although he didn't realize it, was about him and what he'd done. He got very angry in the story and he said, "Whoever's done this vile thing, I want him strung up now." And Nathan said, "You're the man." Bang, straight between the eyes. No escape. Well, David, like most of us, didn't like being found out. But he did say, eventually, he was very sorry. And he tried to help all the people he'd hurt. So David repented. He admitted he was wrong, and he turned his back on his past ways. And that's what repentance actually means. Admitting you're wrong, turning your back on the bad stuff. Well, David was also a king, and a very famous one. He was the absolute ruler of his nation of Israel. And God taught him many lessons as that king. He taught him how to be a good leader and how to care for his people as he'd cared for his sheep. But like all leaders, David made mistakes. But he was able to come back to God and say, "I really goofed that one up. Can you forgive me? And give me wisdom not to do that stuff again." I overheard this conversation recently. "Mummy, I don't want to go to school today. All the teachers think I'm stupid, and the kids all hate me." "Now come along, darling. You have to go to school. You're the headmaster." Well, when I was at school, one of my teachers said I wasn't very observant. Me, a scientist? Well, he or she was obviously wrong. I only realized I was dyslexic when I turned up at a toga party dressed as a goat. So, was God able to teach David anything? Well, the answers just come tumbling out, don't they? What about you and me now? Is God able to teach you? Has he been able to teach me? Well, major embarrassment now. Sorry about this, Anne. Since I was a little child, many people in this church have taught me how to study the Bible and how to live a good life. And Anne Watson, who's sitting just down there, and I'm sorry about this, Anne. I know that Anne really gets embarrassed when I say this, Anne was my Sunday school teacher and my Pathfinder leader. And I was taught by her and others to memorize verses from the Bible. And these verses come back to me many times throughout my life. And they've guided me through my life, just as God promised they would. It's a bit like having a sat-nav inside my head that God can use to guide me along the right paths in my complicated life. I must confess I'm actually addicted. I'm addicted to lifelong learning. No apologies for that. I love learning new things and getting new useful skills. Just like David, whose example I try to follow. But like David, we, myself included, may not have exciting, dangerous lives and become rich and famous like David. But God does expect us, each one, to be teachable. What kinds of things do you want God to teach you? How to get rich? How to win the national lottery? What? Will you do your part in learning for life, life in all its fullness? By reading and studying the Bible on your own and with others in classes? By joining the Alpha course to find out more about the Christian faith? By joining a home group? I really do enjoy my home group. It's something I look forward to. It's like an extended family for us all. By coming to church to hear God's word being explained, like today. By acting out the lessons from the Bible in your everyday life. Because otherwise it's just words, and it's just like Jesus said, it's seed that falls on fallow ground and just nothing happens to it. If you don't action it, it's dead. Make it come alive in your life. I try to do that myself. So I'd like us to pray together now a final prayer, which will be on the screen. So if we say together, Lord God, please teach me the way I should go in my life. Please give me wisdom and look after me. Amen. Thank you.